Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Yutes. We are holding on Daf Yutes Amaralf at the Mishnah on the top of Yutes Amaralf. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom. We thank him very much for continuing to sponsor the Daf Yomi Shir each and every day. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. The Mishnah is going to discuss what types of ink one may use and what types of parchment one may use for writing a get. We're going to have a machlokas if living things are a valid type of parchment to use when it comes to writing a get. Then the Gemara is going to discuss three halachos relating to ksav al gabi ksav. Ksav al gabi ksav could come in different forms. You could have black on top of black, red on top of black, black on top of red. So we're going to discuss the ramifications for that, not only in Hilchos Gittin, but in Hilchos Shabbos for the dinim of the malacha of Kosev. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss whether there are any solutions if the only aid available to you is someone who doesn't know how to sign his own name. So how does he sign a get? How does he sign a shtar if he doesn't know how to sign his own name? So the Gemara is going to suggest or discuss four different types of solutions in that case. Then the Gemara is going to talk about whether the aide needs to know how to read and write, meaning we discussed a little bit about if he doesn't know how to sign his own name, what about if he doesn't know how to read the shtar? The Gemara is going to have three approaches as to whether others can read a shtar for you. I don't know how to read it, or I'm not capable of reading it. Can I have somebody else read the shtar for me? And under what circumstances might that be permissible? And then in the middle of Amidbeis, we're going to discuss a shtar parsa'i, and whether you're allowed to use a shtar parsa'i, which seems to be a document, a shtar that comes from a secular court. Can you use that to collect from nechasim mishubadim? And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about if a get had writing that the husband, meaning if a husband gave a woman a shtar, and then the shtar got immediately destroyed, could the husband say, oh yeah, by the way, that was not a get, that was really just something else, it was a mezuzah or something, and because there's no evidence right now what it was and what was actually written on it. So let's begin on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph at the Mishnah on the top of the page. So the Mishnah tells us, b'kol kosvim, with all types of inks, you're allowed to write a get, b'dio, b'sam, b'sikro, b'komos, b'kankantim, with any of these types of inks, which the Gemara is going to identify exactly what they are, but really anything that is shalkayama, anything that that is going to leave a mark, and that mark is going to be a permanent mark. The Beis Meir in Ebenezer points out that that even though they all work, the Mishnah lists them in a particular order, Dio, Sam, Sikra, Komos, Kankantum, because that is the Seder Kedima as far as what is the most muhudar ink, what is the best ink to use. The Mishnayos do that. Normally the Gemara would point that out in Maseches Pesachim, for example, when the Daf Lamed Tes, when the Mishnah goes through the different vegetables that one is allowed to use for Marar. So the Gemara says, yeah, the vegetables are listed. Five vegetables are listed in order of preference, and that's why they're listed in that order. So over here, the Gemara doesn't say it, but the Beis Meir says that the same is true over here, that these are being listed in order of preference of what is the best ink and second best, etc. Then the Mishnah says, "Ein kosvin lo b'mashkin v'lo b'meperos v'lo b'kol davar she'enu miskayim." That you're not supposed to write with mashkin or meperos, such types of fruit juices or other juices or anything that's enu miskayim, anything that would be quickly erased and would not leave a lasting impression on the parchment. It is a little bit interesting that when we spoke about what you are allowed to use, what you're supposed to use, we said anything that's shel kayama. When we talk about what you're not supposed to use, we say eino miskayim, not eino shel kayama. So the Shoshanim L'David explains that the Mishnah is trying to tell us that there's a that it's necessary that not only that the ksav be with an ink that is shel kayama, but that the ksav be practically something that's able to last based on the parchment upon which it is written as well. Because sometimes you have an ink that's a strong and steady ink, but it's not bar kayama, but because it's not it's not a taking to the surface that you write it on, that you're writing on. So if it's not going to be nivla, it's not going to be absorbed in the surface, so that's not going to be good. So that's why ain no miskayim, no matter what the reason is, that it's ain no miskayim. Ala kol kosvin, you can write on any type of parchment. Ala ola shel zayis, you could write on a leaf of an olive tree. Vala keren shel paro, or on the horn of a cow. Vinosin la sapara, but then the husband would have to give the entire cow together with the horn to the wife, because he can't be tolish the keren from the para after he writes the get, because the Torah says v'kasav la sefer krisos v'nasan biyada. So the Gemara is going to derive in a couple of days from now, Daf Chaf Aleph, that the get has to be only mechusar ksiv unesina. But if it's mechusar ksiva ktsitsa unesina, that you're going to have to cut it off and then give it, then that's not going to be good. So it has to be only mechusar ksiva unesina. So you give her the whole para, or al yad shel eved, you can write a get on the hand of an eved, v'nosin losa eved, but then you have to give her the entire eved. The Rashba points out that we're talking about it, that the case must be that the husband tells her b'feirush that he's giving her the entire para, the entire eved. Because if he doesn't say that, then it could be that we're assuming that he's mishayer for himself some piece of the para or the eved, and that would invalidate the get. Why would it invalidate the get? So the Rashba and the Ran both say that it would invalidate the get, but they don't explain exactly why. Pnei Yeshua explains, because it's a lack of krisos, that the krisos has to be a davar akoris bein olaveina, that whatever I'm giving her, I'm not withholding anything back for myself. So if I'm giving her a get, but I'm withholding some piece of the very item upon which the get is written, so in a certain sense, that's a lack of krisos. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Ein Kosin, Lo Dover Shishmo Ruach Chayim, V'lo La Ochlim. Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, no, you cannot write on a living creature like a para or an eved, as the Tanakhama told you can. No, it does not work on a living creature, nor on ochlim, nor on any type of food. You're not allowed to write. Now, the Tulsi Yontov points out, I understand what he's coming to tell me, lo al davar sheyesh bo ruach chayim. He's coming to tell me not on a para, not on an eved. What's trying to tell me, lo al ochlim? Who said anything about food? Did we mention food anywhere in this Mishnah? Says Tulsi Yontov, yes, we did. We said ola shel zayis, and ola shel zayis is food. For who? For a bird. How do I know it's food for a bird? The Yonah that Noach sent out of the Teva comes back with an ola shel zayis, so I see that it's food for a bird, and therefore that's what it's referring to, and that's what the Rashash writes as well. So apparently, lo ala ochlim doesn't just mean human food, it means even Michael Behema, because an ola shel zayis is not human food. A person wouldn't eat an ola shel zayis. The Machshlomo just asked on the Tos Yantav, Mehechi Tesi, that Rabbi Yossi is arguing about the ola shel zayis case. Maybe he's just telling me, stam, you can't write again on an apple, meaning even though in a chanami, the Mishnah earlier didn't discuss those cases. He's just telling me the rules, and the rules are that you can't write again on a piece of bread, you can't write again on an apple, you can't. So Mehechi Tesi, that he's arguing. Okay, so that's among the commentaries in the Mishnayos, that's the discussion. So anyway, so now the Gemara goes by the Gemara comments. We have to identify all the types of ink that we had mentioned that are kosher for writing a get. So Dio is Diosa, Sam is Sama, Sikra, what's Sikra? I'm Rabbi Chana Sakarta Shema, it's a type of red dye, and Komos Kuma. Komos is a tree sap. Kankantum, and what's Kankantum? Amar Rabbi Bar Bechana, Amar Shmuel, Charta du Ushkafi. It's the black that they use for blackening shoes. So that's the identification of all of these inks. Ubekaldav Shumuskayim, and the Mishnah said, anything that leaves a lasting impression, you're allowed to use for the ink of a get. So Lasuyemai, what else are we coming to include that wasn't already listed in the Mishnah? So Lasuyeh Hadatani, Rabbi Chanina, Ksavo Bimeitar, it's coming to include that if you write b'meitaria va'afta with gallnut juice, so then it's going to be kosher to be megarish with it. So Tani Reb Chia ksavo ba'avar b'shchor b'shichor kosher. Reb Chia taught that if you write the get with avar, with water that was blackened by lead, or with shchar, which is like the black from the coals, from charcoal, or shichar, which is what they would use for blackening shoes. In all of those cases, it's kosher as well. There is a machlokas haposkim within the shitos of Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chia. Are these minim that we're coming to include for ksivas haget kosher lechatchil or only b'diavad? Meaning the Mishnah mentioned five minim. It did not mention all of these other things. So he said, Kaldav Shemeskayim is inclusive of more. What's it inclusive of? So Rabbi Chia had his list, Rabbi Chanina had his list of what it's inclusive of. But the Mishnah didn't mention Rabbi Chia or Rabbi Chanina's list. So is that indicative of the fact that what Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Chanina are adding in over here is not l'chadchila, or is that also l'chadchila? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Gerushin, Parak Dalet, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam seems to understand that Rabbi Chia is only machshir such a get b'diavad, but l'chadchila you're not allowed to write with these types of ink. So the Magen Mishnah explains that the Rambam is medayek from the lashon of Rabbi Chia, because Rabbi Chia said that im kosav kosher, that if you write with these things, then it's kosher. Sounds like l'chadchila you're not supposed to write with these things. What about the things that Rabbi Chanina added? So the Rambam writes that you could write lechadchila with mei afatzim, even though Rabbi Chanina also said im kasav b'mei tvari va'avtza kosher. But nevertheless, the Rambam says that's lechadchila. Well, wait a second. Why would one of them be only be the evid and the other one be lechadchila? So the Magen Mishnah explains that since the Gemara is explaining the line in the Mishnah that says b'kol kosvin, that it's coming to be marba mei tvari va'avtza, so that must be lechadchila because it's explaining what the Mishnah meant to include when it said Bakol Kosvin. So, but Shachar and Shichar and those other things is not an explanation of what Bakol Kosvin is. It's just more things that the Gemara later added are also kosher. That's only b'diavad. Whatever is an explanation of the words Bakol Kosvin, that's l'chadchila. Whatever is not an explanation of the words Bakol Kosvin is just stam, what the Gemara suggests in addition, so that would only be b'diavad. The other Rishonim have different understandings of what's l'chadchila and what's b'diavad over here. Okay, so now the Gemara says, what about ksiva when it comes to the malacha of kosev and mochek on Shabbos? Certainly the halacha is if a person writes shtei osios with a ksava miskayim with a lasting ink, he's chayiv mishum malachas kosev on Shabbos. If you erase shtei osios, which leaves space to write two new osios, you're chayiv for the malacha of mochek on Shabbos. If you're mochek shelo al menas lichtov, if let's say you're mochek in a more destructive way where it does not leave space to be able to write anything, then it's only in isser midrabanan midaraisa, you'd be pater. So the Gemara discusses itmar hamavir diol gabi sukra b'Shabbos. What if a person has red ink on a parchment and then he puts black ink over the letters that already exist? So he writes two letters in black ink over existing letters that were in red ink. So b'yakom reishlag shami tavayu chayiv shtayim. He's chayiv for two malachos of Shabbos. Achas mishum kosev, v'achas mishum mochek. By writing, he's erasing the letters that were previously there underneath, and therefore he's chayiv for erasing those red letters and for writing the black letters. Dio al gabe dio, but if he wrote black on top of black, or sikra al gabe sikra, he wrote red on top of red, then pater. Then he's pater because the ksav is exactly as it was before. He was not mochek anything, and he was not kosev anything, because he didn't add anything in terms of his ksiva, and he didn't take anything away in terms of mechika. Now, that's only, Tosus points out, in Dibra Maskul Dio, that's only if he didn't accomplish anything with the second ksiva by writing over the first time. But, let's say the ksiva Rishona was Shalol Lishma, so it was a get puzzle because it was written Shalol Lishma, and then he writes over it Lishma. He writes those same letters with the same type of ink over it, Lishma. The Gemara is going to say in tomorrow's daf that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hamavir Kulmus al Gabe Aget Lishma, Hareza Ksavin, it's kosher. that if you're maver klumos lishma, you just run over it again, and this time lishma, it's going to be kosher. So that additional ksiva accomplishes something. So if it accomplishes something l'gabi hilchos gittin, it accomplishes l'gabi hilchos Shabbos. Then it's considered to be kosev as far as Shabbos is concerned. That is the shita of Tosos. The Ramban, the Ritva, and the Ran say, what are you talking about? There's no comparison between the dinim of ksiva when it comes to a get and the dinim of ksiva when it comes to Shabbos. Meaning the din of a get is that there's a requirement that not just that there be a ksiva, but that the ksiva be lishma by a get. By Shabbos is no requirement that it be lishma. The Torah just asks us melechas machsheves. So since there was a ksiva and you didn't add anything in the ksiva, it's melechas machsheves in your potter. It's not melechas machsheves, rather in your potter. You added in the lishma element, but you didn't add in the ksiva element. Now the Achronim point out that even within Tosfos, that when the ksav elyon is misakin because it's lishma that you're going to be chayiv, that's only as far as that you can be chayiv for the ksiva, but it's still not considered a mechika of the ksav that was beneath it, because the you didn't really erase the ksav that was beneath it. That's what the Avnei Nezer points out in Or Chaim Simin Reish Dalid. So anyway, so that's the discussion over here. So if you write black on top of red, it's kosev and mochek. Black on top of black or red on top of red, it's nothing. What about the reverse? Sikra al gabe dio. What if you write red on top of black? So Amri la chayiv, Amri la pater. So some say chayiv, some say pater. So Amri la chayiv mochek. The ones say chayiv is because it's mochek. You're erasing the black ink that was there before by making it weaker. Red is not as strong of a color, but you're not chayiv mishum kosev because initially it was better than it is now. V'amila pater mekalkelu. And some say that no, you're pater even for the mochik, because mochik is only chayiv when it's mochik al menas lichtov, when you're mochik in a constructive way where now you're going to be able to produce a better ksav. But over here you were mochik in a way that downgraded the ksav. Why is it that the first opinion doesn't think that it's mekalkel? Because l'chora, Rashi points out that it's not begeder mekalkel because the ksiva still nicker. And as long as you can still see the ksav, you can't call that you destroyed it. You didn't destroy it. There's still two osios that are very clearly legible, that you can very clearly make out. So if it's a ksiva nikeres, then you can't call that mekalkel. Ooh, really? Meaning that's a big chiddush in the din of mekalkel. I mean, that seems to be telling me that mekalkel doesn't mean worse off than it was before. It means total destruction, right? Meaning you did make it worse. You made it worse than it was before, but you didn't totally ruin it. So if you didn't ruin it, Rashi says that can't be called mekalkel. You still have a ksav that's recognizable. Tosel says that it's simply that the mechika was a mechika al menas lichtov, because menastam you're going to write on the sikra with dio, and that's why it's not mekalkel. I mean, it's not mekalkel because you did leave space to write new letters. Meaning now that you wrote with red on top of the black, it's primed to be able to write with black on top of that. So it's mochek al menas lichtov, and that's why it's not mekalkel. Anyway, by minay reshlach shmer Rabbi Yochanan, edim she'in yodim lachto mahu. What if you have edim that don't know how to sign their own names? Mahu she'yuchtav elam besikra. Can you write for them in the red ink v'yacht muksav elyon, and then let them sign with dio over the red ink that you wrote? Is that ksav o enoksav? Is that considered that they're writing their signatures, or is that not considered that they're writing their signatures? So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan says Reish Lakish, the ksav elyon that the edim are writing on top of the sikra, enoksav. It doesn't work. That's not considered to be their signature. So Amalei, v'alon matanu rabbeinu, ksav elyon ksav lin Shabbos. What are you talking about? You taught us when it comes to Shabbos that the ksav elyon is a ksav, that if you write dio al gabi sikra, you're chayiv mishum mochek, you're chayiv mishum kosev, that it's everything. So how can you tell me that it's not a ksav when it comes to signing your name? Amr Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan said back to Reish Lakish, Because we make this assessment misvara to be machmir and to asuk siva with diol gabi sikra and Shabbos nasa maisa. You think that means we're going to be mekel also and be machshir that when it comes to a get, even when it comes to melacha Shabbos, I would not have been somich on such a svara to be mechayiv someone who did that b'shogeg to bring a korban chatas, because I'd be choshish for chulin bazara. Meaning, I'm not so confident that that's actually true. That when you write with diol gabi sikra, that it's mamish kosev when it comes to Shabbos, and you're mamish chayiv shtayim. I was saying, misvara, makes sense that you should be. I'm not willing to put my money where my mouth is and tell the guy to bring korban chatas or two korbanos chatas and bring chulin ba'azara. And therefore, when it comes to a get, and we're playing with the yichus of klal yisrael over here, we're going to be dealing with mamzerim as a result of this. I'm not going to rely on something like that. So itmar, edim sheino d'mlachtom. What if you have edim that don't know how to sign? So is there any eitzah? We just said that the eitzah of just writing in red and having them sign over it in black, you know, you write their names for them in red and having them just trace over it in black is apparently no good. So what does work? So Rav Amar, mekaren lem niyar chalak, umalem es hakara im dio. Just tear open a blank sheet of paper and let them fill the tears with ink. So what exactly does that mean? Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi writes that it means that we make we scrape in to the paper an indentation, like you take if you were to run your fingernail along a piece of paper, so it would leave an indentation. So we sort of do that. We scrape into the parchment an indentation, and they fill in that indentation, similar to what we learned in Masechta Sota of what the Shamir did, right? That it just like it makes like a little indentation on the stones that they were able to write the names of the Shvatim. That's all we do. That's what it means. That Chotkenes Niyar. Tosos just points out that's not what Makarin means. Makarin means that you're tearing something. It should have said Misartin. There's a better word to use if that's what it meant. So Tosos says, no, it means we make a stencil. You take another piece of paper, not the parchment that you're going to be writing on, and you cut out the shapes of the letters and you put it over the original piece of paper and they just fill in the black. So it means that you make a stencil according to Tosos. So anyway, so that's one eight of what to do for a guy who doesn't know how to sign. Shmuel Amar Ba'avar, that you could use lead. And then you write in lead and then he'll write over it with real ink. So Ba'avar Salgadayt with lead. V'atani Rebbe Chia, Ksav Ba'avar B'shchar B'shichar Kosher. But didn't Rebbe Chia tell us that that's a perfectly kosher Ksav? So that's not going to work for me to write the other guy's name in lead and then he's going to write over it. It's already a kosher Ksav if I wrote in lead. So it says more lo kasha. Haba avra, haba maya da avra. That when it comes to actual lead, so that's not a real ksav. So that you could write for him, and then he'll write over it, and that'll be fine. But maya da avra, when you have water that was that lead was soaking in, and therefore became like an ink, it became something that you could actually write with. So then that's considered a legitimate ksav that someone could actually write a get with. In Dibros Moshe, Moshe just points out that einenu ro'os, that when you write with lead, that it actually is miskayin much more than with water that was. That lead was soaked in, and he says it's derech kol ha'olam to write with lead. What is it meaning? That's we have pencils. I have a whole pencil in the so what does that mean? That's not something that you would normally write with. So it could be that the metzius then was different. Meaning whatever they're describing is not not your number two pencil that you use for your standardized test. I don't know, they probably do it on computers now. I don't know, but it's not. That's not what we're describing. So Rabbi Avo has a different solution. He says b'mei milin, that you use the water that they soaked afatzim in, that they soaked what is it, gallnuts or whatever. So and then the edim will sign over that. V'atani Rabbi Chanina k'savu b'meitaria va'avtza kosher, but didn't we say that the avtza itself is kosher? So lo kasha. Hada avitz, hada lo avitz. It depends whether the parchment was treated previously with the gallnut juice. Shein mei milin agave mei milin. If the parchment itself was already treated with gallnut juice, then writing with gallnut juice is not considered a ksiva, because you can't write with it once the whole parchment's already treated with it. But if the parchment was not yet treated with it, then you can use mei milin. Rav Papa Amar Barok. Rav Papa says, no, the best thing to do for the guy who doesn't have to sign his name is you take saliva and spell out his his name in saliva, and he'll write over where you put the saliva. V'chein orilei, Rav Papa, Le Papa Torah, and that's what Rav Papa paskined for Rav Papa, who was a merchant of oxen that baroque, that he should that he would do it for him in saliva, and the Edom will go and sign on top with their actual ink. And so the Gemara gives all these solutions of how to make it so that Edom, who don't know how to sign their name, are able to sign the name. From the Rishonim, it seems that they're arguing that there is some sort of machlokes Rishonim over here, whether these different solutions are all arguing with each other, or they're just different ideas that all agree with each other. Meaning, is each one saying, no, your solution doesn't work, only rope works. It's not going to work to use lead juice or whatever. So the Rif only mentions what Rav says, that Makaren Liam Niyar Chalak, that you make a stencil. He doesn't mention any of the other solutions. The Rambam paskins that if the Edom don't know how to sign, then we're roshim in front of them with rope. Ukayotze ba midavar she'en rishuma miskayimim kos mal roshim, or anything that's ein rishum miskayim. So the Rambam sounds much more expansive. I mean, the Rif only gives one option, the stencil. So it makes it sound like, yeah, because that's where the guy who's signing is putting all the ink on the parchment, and there was nothing on that parchment beforehand. Whereas the other solutions involve having something, someone else put something on that parchment. So it sounds from the Rif that's the only one that works. The Rambam seems to say all of these things work. So the Beis Yosef writes that from the Rif it's mashma that Rav would reject all of the other solutions. And that's what the Rif writes as well, that Rav is machshir, the stencil, but nothing else. The Rama writes that l'chadchila, we can only be machshir b'kriya. So in Shulchan Aruch, we quote Shitas Rambam, that you could do b'kol davar shein rishum miskayim, that you could make the markings of the guy's name with anything that's shein rishum miskayim. And the Rama says yesh machmirim not to do that lechachila, to only do a stencil. So you see that that there's a very strong possibility that there's a machlokas over here. Stechemet is an interesting comment. He says I have a better idea that the Gemara didn't think of. He says he talks about an aide didn't know how to write, so the sofer said come here, and he said hold on to the pen with me, and the sofer was writing the name while the aide was holding on to the pen together with him. So says the Stechemet, that's obviously no good. Why is it obviously no good? Because if I could think of it, probably the Amoraim could have thought of it also, right? And they didn't. They didn't make that suggestion. Why didn't they make that suggestion? Because it's obviously no good. You're not writing at all. Only the guy is writing. Meaning you go to Hachnas Sefer Torah and they're filling in the last few letters. So there are different practices. Sometimes the sofer tries to size you up. Can I trust this guy? Right? Is he going to just give me blotches of ink all over the parchment? So if he sizes you up and he says no, which is usually how he sizes me up, he'll say just hang on to the to my hand or to the to the quill as I write the letter. So what am I doing? According to the Stechemet, nothing. I'm not doing anything at all. Whenever, because it's the sofer that's doing all of the writing. That's the ksav of the sofer. It's not the ksav of the person who's holding on to his hand. Okay. So says Gemara, v'hani mili begitin. All of these etzos that we're giving about how to sign, when the guy doesn't know how to sign, are only acceptable for a get. Av b'shtar uslov. We would never allow this by any other shtar. Du David uvda b'shar shtaros. Someone tried to do this by shar shtaros with Edom who didn't know how to sign, and they tried one of these etzos. V'nagde Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana gave the guy malchus for trying such a thing with shtar shtaros. There's a machlokes in Rishonim. What if it was already done with shar shtaros? Would it be kosher b'di'evet? Okay, so it's not appropriate. You're not supposed. I mean, why are we more makel by gittin? So it's obvious why we're more makel by gittin. Because it's a takanos agunos, meaning it could be that the woman's going to be an aguna. If this is her only chance to receive a get, and the husband's going to die, or the husband's going to disappear, so you need to do whatever we can to make it happen. But by shar shtaros, we have no tremendous motivation to make it happen. So by shar shtaros, if you did it this way, is it going to be kasher b'di'eved, or do we assume that even b'di'eved it's possible? So the Rambam Milts Malvav Lava Perek Chavdal and Alach Avav says that not only are we makah the edim makas mardos, we pasul the shtar. The shtar is possible, but the eved. However, the Rashba points out that there are different shitos in Rishonim, that some say the shtar is pasul legamri, and even if it was given in front of Edei Mesira, it's going to be pasul. And some say that since the Gemara doesn't say that Rav Kana pasul the shtar, just says Rav Kana was so upset that he gave the guy Malkus, so you see that even though the guy did wrong, it's not going to pasul the shtar b'dieved. So the Rashba writes that Misvara, he thinks that that's really the din, because we're not machshir legabe the get to be machdim, meaning that we're machshir legabe the get to be machdim edim like this, and it's considered a chasima. So how could you say that it's called a chasima by a get, and by shar shtarus it's not even called a chasima? No, it's called a chasima, we're just not happy about it. So it must be that it's still kosher b'dieved when it comes to shtar shtaros. The Magen Mishnah rejects the rise of the Rashba, and he says it can't be that a shtar is going to be kosher, because if the shtar would be kosher, then Rav Kana wouldn't give the guy malchus, because you're not makin on losa say mitivrei sofrim. You're not going to give someone a malchus for something that you just don't like, that you're just not happy with the way that he did it, if it was in fact valid. Elamai, it must not be valid. So that's the discussion that the Rishonim have over here. So Tanya Kavase the Rav. We have a brisa that supports Rav, that the Rav again had said that Edom don't know how to sign, so you just make a stencil for them. Edom shein yodim lachtom, makarim leam niyar chalak. It says befeirus like that. Umemalim esakroim dio, and they fill in the stencil with ink. Amram shem gamliel bamed varmamurim. When do we say that if they don't know how to sign, they could fill in the stencil with ink? That's begite nashin. Avol b'shukrei avadim v'shar kol hashtaros im yodim likros v'lachtom chosmin v'mavin chosmin. If they can read and write, good, then let them sign. And if they can't read and write, then they can't sign. Says, well, wait a second. We were just talking about Edom who don't know how to sign. Who said anything about reading? Kriya mandakar shemei. Why does Rishon Gamliel say, but medvar mamur begitin nashim, but otherwise, im yodin likros v'lachtom. Sounds like the first title of the Brisa was matir to sign Edom that don't even know how to read. But the first title of the Brisa didn't talk about Edom who don't know how to read. He spoke about Edom who don't know how to sign. So Rishon Gamliel shouldn't have added that detail in our arguing on the Tanakama. So says Mar Chisuri Maxavachik Tani. No, no, there's something missing from the language over here. And here's how it should have read. Edim Shein Yodin Likros, if an Eid doesn't know how to read the Shtar, Korin Lefneim, we read it to them, V'chosmim, and then they sign it. V'Shein Yodim Lachtom, if they don't know how to sign the Shtar, so then we said the suggestions of the stencil. So Amram Shemung Amliel, Bamed, Varmamurim, Shemung Amliel is qualifying both of those things. When do we say that you could be Machtim Edim that don't know how to read or write? So Begitei Nashim, Aval Shukri, Avad, Mishal Kar Shtaros, Im Yodin Likros, Vilachtom chosmin v'mlavein chosmin. By any other shtar, they need both of those skills. They need to be able to read it by themselves, and they need to be able to sign it by themselves. It's only by Gitei Nashim that we're willing to compromise on the Edom having such skills. Amar Ablazer, my time in Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Why does Rav Shmuel Gamliel allow signing Edom on a get if they don't know how to read and they don't know how to write, even though by Shar Shtar it's not okay? Shloi Benos Yisrael Agunos, because he doesn't want the Benos Yisrael to remain Agunos, that the husband's going to go to Medina Siyam, and that will be the last we ever hear from him, and the wife is never going to be able to get remarried, or the husband's going to die tomorrow, and he's got a good for nothing brother who's going to refuse to do Yibam V'chalitza, so the woman's going to be in Aguna. So Amar Rava Halach Rav Shmuel Gamliel. We pass the Rav Shmuel Gamliel that by Shar Shtaros, other than Gittin, if the aid doesn't know how to read, and he doesn't know how to write, he cannot be an aid. Rav Gamda, Mishmei Derava, Amar Ein Halacha, that we don't pass the Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Paras Yosef points out that seems unduly negative. Why say Ein Halacha? Just say Halacha Ketanakama. There is a Tanakama. Just say, I do Paskin like the Tanakama, instead of saying Ein Halacha Rav Shmuel Gamliel. So Paras Yosef explains, because in Tanakama, he doesn't talk about a case of Edom who don't know how to read, right? We had to add that in. Rav Shmuel Gamliel addressed both. So we're saying, Ein Halacha Rav Shmuel Gamliel, meaning if he lacks either skill, then it's going to be problematic. The Elokiman Kirabanan. So who are we passing like the Rabbanan? Who allowed me machtin? I'm sorry, not like Rav Shmuel Gamliel, who says that the heter of someone who doesn't know how to read or write is only for gittin, but not for shar shtaros. So who are you passing like the Rabbanan, who allow even for shar shtaros someone who doesn't know how to read and write? But wasn't there a story b'shar shtaros that someone relied on an aid who didn't know how to read or write for shar shtaros? Minagde Rav Kana, and Rav Kana gave the guy malchus. So don't you see that that's bad? How could you paskin that you're allowed to use it for shar shtaros? L'chora, one could very simply answer, well, okay, Rav Kana is an Amora, Rav Gamda is an Amora, Mishmei de Rav is an Amora. They're allowed to argue, meaning there's no clear machlokas. There is a Tosus in the beginning of Moed Katan that says that Rav Kahana was a Gavra Rabba, and therefore it could be that because Rav Kahana was a Gavra Rabba, that they could use him to ask on Amorayim, that he was such a big Amora. So anyway, but Tirgama Akriya. So the Gemara's answer is that when Rav Gamda said that we paskin like the Chachamim, who are machshir by Shar Shtaros, that's when Edom don't know how to read, but they do know how to sign. Because then the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, follows the Chachamim, that other people could read for them. But if the Edom don't even know how to sign, that I agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel about, that they should not be signing in Shar Shtaros. So Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara is going to talk about people who, for one reason or another, did not have an easy time being able to read Shtaros. So what did they do? So Rabbi Yehuda was very old, and his eyes weren't so good, so and he had to sign sometimes as an aide or as a dayan. So mitztair kari v'chasim, he would strain himself to be able to sign. Amalei Ula lo tzricha, so Ula said, you don't have to do that. Rabbi Lazar, Marad Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Lazar is the Marad Eretz Yisrael, he's greater than anyone else, his bekius is greater than all of his colleagues, so when he needed to sign a shtar, Karu Kamei V'chasim, they read it to him, and he signed it. Rav Nachman, Karu Kamei Safri Dayani V'chasim, and Rav Nachman would have the scribes that worked in his Beis Din read it to him, and he would sign it. So says Rav Dafka, Rav Nachman V'Safri Dayani. It was only Rav Nachman and his own Safri Dayani, Dislue Masa, because they were afraid to read it incorrectly to him. They would never want to trick him because they'd get in big trouble. Aval Rav Nachman v'safri achrini. But if it was Rav Nachman and sofrim that were not the sofrim of his own Beis Din, or safri dayani v'nish achrini, or the sofrim of the Beis Din of Rav Nachman, but they weren't reading it to their boss, they weren't reading it to Rav Nachman, lo, we would not be able to rely on someone else reading it to you and trusting them that the document says what they say it says. Rav Papa kiavas l'kamei shtara parsa. Omer Rav Papa was presented with a shtar that was written in Lashon Parsi, Da'avid Barko Shal Kutim, that was made in a Beis Din of Goyim, was made in a secular court, and the Edom signed on it were Goyim, Makrulu L'Shnei Kutim, he would call two Goyim to read it for him, Ze Shalob B'Fnei Ze, one not in front of the other, but Masiach L'Fi Tumo, without them realizing that Rav Papa was relying on them to collect a chov that was identified in that shtar, Umagvi Be'im Mishabdi, and he would use that shtar to collect from the Chasim Shubadim, meaning he trusted these Goyim to read to him what it says in the shtar. So Amar Ravashi, Amar Li Rav Huna Bar Nasan, Hachi Amar Ameimar, Hashtar Parsa, the Chasimi Alei Saadi, a shtar Parsa that Edomar, the Saadi Yisrael, the Jewish Edomar signed on, Magvinim Beim Mishabdi, Valo Yadi Lemikri, but how could you collect from the Chasim Shubadim with such a shtar? You don't know how to read what it says in the shtar. So Bidiyadi, we're talking about that the Edom did know how to read, and therefore it's valid Edos. I Vabin Ksav Sheinu Yochel is Daif, but don't you need to write on a cloth that was treated with something to make it something that you can't easily erase and replace the writing? Veleka, you don't have that if it was done in the secular courts. Bidafitza, no, it was such a cloth that was pre-treated so that it's not easy to forge the document. I Vabin Tzar Glachzor Meinyan Lushal Shtar B'Shita Achrona, but don't we require that one of the dinim of a shtar is that you chazer over the basic tamtis of the shtar in the last line of the shtar to make it clear that this is the end of the shtar, so that no one could then go add in, if you leave space between the end of the shtar and where the edim signed, you want to make sure no one's going to add in more details and after the chasimus edim. So v'leka, you don't have that. But the ma'adam, no, we're telling that they wrote in such a way. So then what's the chiddush that it's kasher? The kaloshim kasher? That you're allowed to write a shtar in other languages? Tanina, we already know that. That's a mission we're going to have much later in the Masechta. Getchuk savu ivris ve'edov yevanis, yevanis ve'edov ivris kasher. That even in Greek, it's still going to be kasher. So it's mefurash in the Mishnah that again is kasher b'kal lashon. Why does a memer have to tell me that a shtar parsi is kasher? So it says Mara imei ahi, because if I only would have had that Mishnah, hava amina hanimili begitten, I would have said, yeah, for a get we'll allow it. B'shar shtaros lo, but I would think for shar shtaros where there's no aguna issue that we would not allow it. So kamash b'lan that we do. Now Amar Shmuel, nasala niyar chalak, varmala areze kiteich mugresha. Shabbos. If he gives her a blank piece of paper and says, Areza Giteich, she's Megureshes, because we're Choshesh, that maybe he wrote a get with gallnut juice, and then it got absorbed into the parchment, and therefore it's no longer Nicker, but it actually was a get. So Meisvei, the Brisa, we challenge from Brisa, Areza Giteich, Nataltos Rakto Liamalu Ur, that if a guy gives a woman a piece of parchment and says, Areza Giteich, she takes it and then she throws it into the ocean or she throws it into a fire, she otherwise destroys it, and then he later says, oh, by the way, shtar pasim hu, that it was that was not a real get, it was just a shtar pasim, shtar amana, who was some other type of shtar, mugureshes, lo kalim en lo osra, she's mugureshes, he doesn't have the ability to asr. So the Gemara explains the kasha, taima dikaksav, the whole reason the woman's mugureshes and the Baal is not neman to say that it was not a get, is because we know for sure that there was ksav on the get, haleka ksav, but if there was no ksav, lo, then we wouldn't be choshesh that it's anything. So how can Shmuel say, if you give her a blank piece of paper that we're choshesh, that it's actually a get? Now, kikam Shmuel, debat kinan lei b'maya denara. When even Shmuel said that she is mugresh, is talking about that he gave her an iyar chalak, is only if we were bodik the get first with a certain type of test. That when you put it over the niyar, whatever ink was absorbed starts to show, like they said with this invisible ink, and then you run it over with another marker, and the lettering starts to show. So ipalit palit, if the ksav is there and you see it, so then it's there. So she's mugreshes. V'lo palit lav klumu, and if not, then it's nothing. So says Rav Chipalit Mayhavi, why does it matter that the ksav shows up? Hashu de palit, it's only now. That the ksav is showing up, but prior to that, then it seems to get the osios were totally absorbed in the paper, so that shouldn't be considered a valid get. So Shmuel nami chayshinu kamar. Yeah, Shmuel is just saying that we're choshish that maybe at the shas and seen as a get the osios were not totally absorbed into the parchment yet at that time. So that's what Shmuel is saying. We have to be choshish that maybe it's a get, not that we know for sure that it's a get. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Ravina.
Have a great day.
You too. Thanks. You too. Take care.